Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
Today's podcast comes from another listener request. I thought the subject was a good one for those of us who want to follow God, but find it difficult and confusing to do so at times. I'm pretty sure I've never heard anyone say that they love waiting on God. Most of us don't like waiting on anything, for that matter. I was trying to think of what that meant exactly. What do we mean when we say we are waiting on the Lord? I think it can mean a lot of things. Let's start with this one, allowing God to lead or be in control. When we surrender the driver's seat to God, we are saying He gets to determine the destination we will travel toward, the route we take, and the speed we travel. When our hands are not on the wheel, nor our feet on the pedals, we are in a vulnerable position. God can take us wherever He wants to. If our beliefs about God are true, for example, God is good, wise, reliable, faithful, loving, and true, then we will be comfortable in the passenger seat. If we doubt those beliefs, we will not. So if you are in a waiting mode and find fear is rising, ask God to show you which of your beliefs are false. He loves to answer that prayer. Your beliefs could also be off in the direction of your identity. For example, God helps others, but not me. I'm not worth His time and trouble. One of the spiritual goals we want to pursue is maintaining in a place of peace. Whenever our peace is being usurped by anxiety, then ask, where are my beliefs off? God's Holy Spirit will show you. There are unlimited circumstances in which we might struggle to wait on the Lord to lead. My personal number one here is with my kids. They are all adults now, married, with their own children, and like all families, there are some very tough issues going on, issues that break my heart, incite fear and worry, and invite obsessive thinking. Remaining in peace is a fight for me. I want things to change. I want disaster to be averted. I want my family to be happy, healthy, following the Lord, making good decisions. But guess what? I don't control any of those things. And speaking into their lives, even if they will let me, doesn't really seem to help or change anything. Being in control is an illusion, anyway. We are never in control of another human being, other than raising babies and small children. Teenagers, certainly not, nor any adult kids. So the sooner we learn how to rest quietly in the Lord's sovereign will and power, the better for us and for those we love. My only true option, healthy and useful option, is to wait on the Lord to move in their lives. He has the power, I do not. Knowing this, do I always stay in a place of rest and trust? No, I do not. I do, however, attend to my fear whenever it rises up. I go back to the Lord and relinquish my loved ones to Him, visually and verbally, turning them over to Him. God's promises come in handy in a mighty way when those we love are either going through painful events or making poor choices. I remember one time one of our kids was having a particularly difficult time, and the Lord gave me this verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. It settled me right down as He reassured me He was working in this situation. The next reason we may find ourselves waiting is because we are seeking an answer or direction. We are waiting for the right doors to be opened so we can move forward. Again, the possibilities are endless. Waiting for a job opening, for an opportunity to move or relocate, to start a business, to find a life partner to marry, to begin a ministry, to go to a certain mission field, to name just a few. I personally have this one filming project that has been on the horizon for at least 10 years. But every time I try to move that direction, God redirects me to a different project. It happened again this year. I thought surely this was the year. Well, apparently not, because God still isn't opening that door. Could I force the issue and do it anyway? Absolutely. I was born an initiator, so starting things comes easily to me. But I have had enough bad experiences with going ahead of the Lord that I believe I've finally learned my lesson. I don't want to do that anymore. It's too hard. Believe me, it does not feel good to be going against the Lord. Instead of having His wind beneath my wings, I have it right in my face stopping me. Not good. If we have an unsettled sense about something, we need to stop immediately and ask the Lord if we are in His will or not. Feeling unsettled isn't a guarantee we're out of His will. There can be other reasons. But if we are spending regular time with Him, He will always put a check in our spirit when we are going against Him. Just because it is a good thing doesn't mean it is God's thing. What could be wrong with going on the mission field or starting a ministry? It is wrong if it isn't God's plan or God's timing. That's because we won't have His help and support. And without His help and support, we will be slaughtered. I've seen this many times. It's painful to watch and even more painful to go through. So what do? We wait until He moves. That's the rule I live by. When it's God's will, there's always movement regarding the issues. Someone says something. A scripture comes alive. A door or opportunity opens. And those outward indicators always join with the movement the Holy Spirit brings in my own soul. I can feel Him lead me. I have God's desire. That isn't true in every situation, though. Remember Jonah? He certainly had zero desire to follow God to Nineveh. Why was that? Jonah had a divided heart. He was not living according to God's word. Instead, he judged the Ninevites. If we are going to wait well, then we need to constantly be in the Word, reading, listening, and studying. That will always be God's primary way to speak to us. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When we're waiting for the Lord to move first, that's when we run with strength and perseverance because He's working through us. Another area where we wait on the Lord is when we are in a difficult or painful situation. What does it mean to wait when we've been married for decades and our spouse has no interest in God or the things of God? When the marriage is not healthy? When someone we love isn't a Christian? When we or someone we love is in bondage to an addiction? When a health crisis isn't improving, when there's no job opening, we pray and pray and wait, and maybe nothing happens. Now what do? During times like these, it is just as important to avoid the wrong things as it is to stick with the right things. Number one is to stay in the truth. Don't go down the road of doubt and false beliefs. We may have no answers as to why things are going the way they are, but let us never attempt to answer the questions with lies. God is always on the job. God is always sovereign. God always hears and answers our prayers. God always loves us. God always works on our behalf. God is always powerful. And I could go on and on, but that should make my point. We are not helping matters when we attempt to provide answers to questions by slandering the character of God and believing lies. Instead, we need to continually remind ourselves of the truth. That is what will give us strength to wait well. Here's a good one to hang on to from Psalm 33, verses 18 to 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. Waiting's hard. It's uncomfortable. When we're waiting, we often have feelings of vulnerability and fear present. That's when we find out the state of our faith. Waiting forces us to rely on something or someone other than ourselves. It's an opportunity to move closer to the Lord, leaning into Him. Waiting can help us learn to rely on Him and trust His promises. The other option is to worry and fret and let our fear take over our life. When we choose this route, our brain will be affected and begin to work against us, possibly leading us to paralyzing fear, to panic attacks or depression. Our health may suffer. If we untether ourselves from the Lord, we will likely struggle in every direction. This is a good time to remember Psalm 37, 7 to 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You do yourself no favors by allowing yourself to worry and fret. As the psalm said, it only causes harm. You likely know this popular verse in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. But did you know that is only half of the verse? The rest of it says this, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Why can we be still and know that He is God? Because He will be exalted. He is the ultimate authority. No one and nothing can usurp God's power. We could paraphrase that and say, quiet down, my child. Let your worry and fear stop by pondering and considering who I am. I am above everything in this universe, so you can leave your concerns with me. Maybe Paul's words would help us trust that the Lord is sufficient while we're waiting. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God knows we're weak, that we struggle when things are hard, and we're waiting for something to change or waiting for an answer or for direction. But as Paul discovered, God's grace will be sufficient for anything we go through. When we are weak, He is strong. We always have His help. I would be remiss not to mention an important part of waiting. Part of trusting God and waiting quietly, peacefully, involves accepting the will of God. We need to rest in Him while we wait. For many of us, this is where we struggle. We know He's God. He's the creator of the universe, controlling all things. However, we're not sure we will always agree with or like His decisions. Let's just cut to the chase on this one. You won't always agree with God's decisions, and you won't always like His decisions. He's God. We're not. We will never have the same capacity for knowledge and wisdom that He has, nor will we ever have the capacity to love the whole world as He does. Our sphere of care and concern is relatively small. His is without limit. There will always be illness, disease, and death. Until Jesus returns, there will always be suffering. We are guaranteed to go through hard things. We are really wasting our time, our peace, our joy, our life. We allow ourselves to get stuck on this one. Don't judge the will of God. That's a fool's game. He has the plan for our life, a plan that is a good one. His heart is pure gold, pure holiness, pure love. He operates out of nothing else. We can trust him. That, however, is a choice we all make individually. I had to cross that bridge and decide whether I would trust this or not. No one could do that for me, and no one can do that for you. For all of us, we simply make this decision based on God's word. As it says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Hope comes from the truth of his word, nothing else. While we wait, whatever the circumstances might be, it's helpful to remember that God is for us. He is our fan club. He wants the best for us, to give us a beautiful life, if only we will trust him and wait for his will to be done. Isaiah 30:18 says, Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Those who wait are blessed. You have his grace. That means he is using his full resources to work in your life. All scripture is from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.